Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conscious Awakening series. I'm your host, Sheila Seppi, and my intention with this podcast is to support you in your spiritual and cosmic growth. Each week, we explore inspiring stories of unveilment, resilience, triumph, transformation, and empowerment right here on the Conscious Awakening Network. Today, it is my honor to host Deborah Moffett. Now, Deborah is a gifted intuitive and the author of the award-winning books such as Awake in the World, Garden of Bliss, and the Riviera Stories. She leads workshops and retreats on developing an intuition, inspired writing, and deep intuitive creativity in both the United States and in Europe. Her popular French Alps retreats have attracted participants from all around the world. She has taught at the Sophia Institute in Charleston, South Carolina, and the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. Her writings have appeared frequently in Unity Magazine and in the U.S. interviews with Lynn Mctaggart and Dr. Joe Dispenza, and in many luxury and community magazines. Today, Deborah's going to share with us, and we're going to talk about intuition and the energy of time. So, Deborah, welcome, welcome, welcome. So happy you're here.
Oh, thank you so much, Sheila. I'm so happy to have connected with you. I'm excited about our topic today as well. I love intuition, and time is a very interesting experience right now.
Yes, it is. Now, it seems like you've been talking with a lot of people about intuition lately.
Yeah, I was just sharing that I was in Lausanne for an expo, like there are expos in the US as well. And over a 4-day period, I did. Gosh, over 40 readings for people. And I was noticing how, I was just mentioning how before when I would do sessions with people, the energies were more dense around the potentials and potentials for the good and also potentials for negative. And now the feel is much, much different. That is, everything is much more fluid and it's much harder to say this is what appears to be a really dense, a really clear potential, strong potential for the future. It's just very much shifted. And you're probably noticing some of the same things, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I always think about is when we talk about our intuition, we get these little hits or we hear voices and we start to move in that direction. We also are moving or solidifying a certain timeline for ourselves. And I've wondered what would happen if we did not move in the direction or follow those intuitive hits.
Oh, that's an interesting one. That's a really interesting one. I work really closely with listening to my own intuition and paying attention. I've noticed what happens whenever I don't listen to it. In the past, a few times I didn't listen to it and it did not feel good, the results. And now I just really pay attention. I even get hits, I'm sure like you do and a lot of people as well, before I do workshops, before I do like the expo a few days ago, where I'll be prepared for certain eventualities so I can modify things to amplify for the better or play down the more potentially negative aspects. And I think that's really interesting as well. So, intuition really is our best friend, in my view.
Right, absolutely. And for people who are wanting to get started, or to deepen their own intuition, do you have any tips for them?
First thing is focus and concentration, right? Because we're so caught up in all of these distracting, social media platforms, everything going on trying to hook our attention. And by bringing beginning to refine qualities of focus and attention, concentration, we can be able to capture the subtle information that comes in. That's a really big one. And then also noticing when, we've been trained mentally to actually eliminate and disregard intuitive insights from childhood, and from education. And so one of the big things is overriding or acknowledging that mechanism that has been put in place and starting to pay attention to the insights that come in. And encouraging the mental aspect to just say, okay, allow that to be there. So those are two big things. So two instead of one.
Beautiful. Now, a lot of times people begin their intuitive journey just when they're small children. You know, they follow that gut, they talk with their imaginary friends, and they have these dialogues that end up helping them as they go through life to really learn how to trust that intuition. And a lot of times when I talk to people, they literally say, well, I just don't trust my intuition. You know, I thought I was supposed to do this and I followed through and it was a disaster. So, what's going on with that? What happens to those people?
What happens to
Yeah, what's going on? You know, they're hearing the voice and they follow it, but it becomes a disaster as opposed, like in my case, when I follow my intuition, my life is so much easier.
Me
So much
too.
easier. And when I don't, boy, do I get in trouble. But
Me
I
too,
try.
me
Yeah.
too, me
So I
too.
always try to follow that. But some people try to follow it and they're just not having any success.
Yeah, again, my impression is that it has to do a lot with what we're paying attention to, because it's really subtle distinguishing between the intuitive insights and the mental chatter, right? So a lot of times people will get the right first impression. And then the mind jumps in and starts trying to analyze and understand why. I don't know about you, but for me, intuition does not give me the whys usually. You know, I don't get the whys until way after. And then even then, I don't know often why. And you know, my partner is a physicist, and I'll share information with him, or he'll see, we have different friends who'll come and ask information about business project and that kind of thing, and the information will just come in, and time again it's confirmed, and he'll ask why, how does it happen, why, and I just say I don't know. You know, so I think that's part of the process, is trusting that we don't know why, or it's the why, and beginning to trust the subtle information and understanding how it comes in for each person individually. And it's very, very subtle. It's so subtle. So I always tell people, you know, you don't expect intuition to hit you over the head and say, you know, do this, take this direction, do this. It doesn't work like that.
That is a good tip for people. I always like to ask my guest, what brought you to where you are today? Was there one point in your life that was just like this big aha and it propelled you down a path? Or has your path just very gently unfolded for you throughout your whole life?
I had the what people call the three alarm wake up call, right? And I write about this in my book Garden of Bliss, and also Awaken the World. So I was living on the French Riviera. I was in international business. I was traveling 265 days a year, you know, to different countries with different time zones all the time. So you know, I was very much in this materialistic lifestyle, following what society said was a successful life, successful career, successful life experience. And I ended up flying to Paris, and I was supposed to fly off to the US with the head of the company that I was working for, the French company. And I sat down in the chair as waiting for him, and I couldn't get up. So I had been pushing my body and pushing and pushing and overriding all of the physical symptoms of fatigue and, you know, exhaustion, all that stuff. I just kept pushing, pushing. And I finally said to him, I can't go, I've got to go back. And so the doctor put me on like a 3 week work stop. He says, you can't go back to work, you know. And my thoughts were, you know, how can they live without me? And of course, they didn't have to have me there for their six.
Right.
It, you know, those 3 weeks on where I was on, in my Seaview apartment on the, you know, on the French Riviera in Antibes, and I was just bored and going through this really deep crisis. And then my marriage broke up, and then so I got sick, my marriage broke up, and then the job fell apart. So it's like really like three things all at once. And I write in my book that it's one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it really brought me to the point that I needed to be at to start this exploration into the mysticism and the spirituality and what really has meaning and purpose for me.
Wow. Well, with that much travel, I could imagine the body being weary. So you had this three-step process that brought you to this awakening. So what began to unfold for you?
So one of the first things I did was make a leap of faith. I was terrified of leaving the corporate world, of leaving, this traditional lifestyle that has been mapped out for as a sort of blueprint of success. And so I did something for me that was really terrifying, and that was I parachuted out of a plane from, like, it was about 3,000, 4,000 feet, I think. It was really, really high for me. And I was terrified of it. And that for me, facing that fear was like my leap of faith. So that was one of the first things that I did. And when I did that, my whole inner life just started opening up. It was just this huge opening. My dreams started activating, like a lot of people during the COVID period, a lot of people's dreams have started activating. So my dreams started communicating with me. I learned the messages. I read all of the Casey material. My intuitive abilities started to grow. I started seeing auras and perceiving, empathic energies and subtle energies of things. And it was just this huge opening, which was sometimes a little bit intimidating, but it was always beautiful experience. So those
Wow.
are the pathways.
So do you recommend people going skydiving?
I don't think it's for everybody, but for me, it was like a sign to the universe. The universe really works in the symbols that we give it and the messages that we give it. And whenever we say I'm ready, that was my way of saying, okay, I'm ready to open up this new exploration of how to move forward, how to earn a living differently. Hey, sweetie. I see your puppy. And how to create a new lifestyle, right? And I kept having these dreams at that time of new roads being constructed. So I was constructing new roads for myself. And I know afterwards that I was also creating pathways for other people who were also exploring these new potentials and these new pathways of how to, create your own business like you're doing that really amazingly as well. And so it's just part of this amazing process that we've been a part of as we grow into these new energies, these new transitions for the earth, right?
Now, I know that you're an author of three different books, and I want to talk about those just real briefly because you have referenced the Garden of Bliss. So, can you tell us? Let me start with the first one that I mentioned, Awake in the World. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Yeah, Awaken the World is, like I said, it was the result of that time frame where I was really looking for what's next, what has meaning. And so it's 108 practices to live a divinely inspired life. So it's really short chapters. It's about many of the wisdom traditions that I explored without the religious charge. So they're the wisdom traditions, the practices that don't have any sort of dogma or religion. So the inspiration is explore, a lot of people tell me they like to open the book, see what chapter they come to, and just use that as their inspiration for the day. And so, there are, 1 minute meditations, explorations with a labyrinth. Human values is one that I really love and that really influenced me. So, just choosing, there's a huge list of human values to work with. Gosh, there's so many. Using humor, I love to use humor. So there's so many, and it's 108 practice, and it's really short. So that was one, and it was many of the things that I would have liked to have found at the time when I was going through that period. And many people have told me that they really like that. It was published in different languages, published in India as well. So that's the purpose of that one, just helping people to navigate the many pathways of potentials with the tools.
I love the fact that you have the 108 practices in there because many times people, they're gung-ho, they want to do something, but they don't really know exactly what they need to do or where to look. And this book, Awaken the World, allows people that opportunity to go through these 108 practices to really start to build some stability for themselves and to trust in themselves, because I know when people first awaken and they're hearing all these messages, or they're seeing or hearing, or whatever it is, however, that knowing coming through with their clairvoyance or audience or sentience, they're like, you know, I think I'm making this up. I'm not sure this is really it. So that's a great book for them to go to. Now, tell us a little bit more about the Garden of Bliss.
Yeah, so Garden of Bliss is the follow-on. It's more of the behind-the-scenes story about the challenges, the difficulties, the awakening of the intuitive abilities. And it uses the idea of the seasons to explore one's inner garden. And there are also stories and practices around that. And it's really about digging deep into connecting with one's inner wisdom, because that's really the key. Everything I'm about, like you mentioned, as you were about as well, Sheila, is helping to empower people to listen to our own inner wisdom, because we've all got it. And part of the process is kind of digging through the stuff and the mental chatter to reconnect with that. So Garden of Bliss is about the stories. It's the story of how the dreams started activating, the intuitive abilities started coming. The symbol of the garden is actually that inner sacred space where we meet ourselves in this beautiful area. And for me, my inner garden, the first image I had of it was a desert, which was very symbolic. And then, and then as I started working with the garden, and my dreams would populate it with, you know, these lush, incredibly huge flowers, like the size of a tree, you know? And so it's that process of how the expansion of consciousness develops, and the ways that it brings us information and affirmations that we're going in the right direction.
Beautiful. I love synergy. Synergy is my friend. So that is awesome. And all the synchronicities that come out of that. So that's beautiful. Now, what about the Riviera stories?
So the Riviera Stories is a collection of short stories, and that was from my period when I lived on the French Riviera. I mean, I met rock stars and millionaires, and I also met people who, you know, were extremely poor, who, you know, who were in this very extremely materialistic environment. And so many of the people I met were on the verge of really recognizing that the material pursuits were not enough and there was something more. So all the stories are about this, all these people who are from different, they're inspired by different people I met who were on this verge of realizing that, okay, the huge diamond, you know, and the guy who has the big house is nice, but that's not enough. And how they're starting to open up the spiritual growth and the spiritual path. So
That's beautiful. Now, I want to switch directions for just a second because I also read that you taught at the Sophia Institute. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And for those people who are not familiar with the Institute as well.
Gosh, the Sophia Institute is a wonderful place, very dear to my heart. It's in Charleston, South Carolina, founded by Carolyn Rivers. And it is kind of a spiritual center in the south of the US. I said south of France because we're just in the south of France. And you know, a lot of amazing people have been there. Jean Houston, Sumant Kidd was there teaching quite frequently. David White, so many amazing people. And I had the opportunity several times to teach writing workshops and workshops on intuition. So it's just an amazing place to go if people have a chance to align with some of the events that they have there. Definitely recommend it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, I know that you also used to host your own podcast and you're looking at bringing that back through the Conscious Awakening Network, but I would like for you to talk a little bit about some of the people that you've interviewed and those golden nuggets? Because I know every time I interview somebody, I'm like, wow, I just loved that. Or they'll say something, I write it down. And, it may be something you already know, but they put a new twist on it, which really, invigorates me. And it's like, oh, wow, that makes so much sense. And so I was just wondering if you could share a little bit of the wisdom that you've gleaned from all of the interviews that you've conducted.
Wow. So it was a radio show on Unity FM and broadcast live and then was podcasted afterwards. And some of the ones that really, really touched me deeply, Greg Braden just has a great energy about him and just as his in his wisdom and his gentleness and strength and the things he shared a lot about resilience, which is really important for this time. I can't pull out specific quotes, but for me it's the energy he shares. It's really, really amazing. So Greg Braden is just a really just has just a gentleness but a certain power in his beingness. I really loved Dr. Eben Alexander because he went from that very linear lifestyle. He was a neurosurgeon to having had his opening when he went through coma. And he described the coma experience. And many people have read his book about his near-death experience. And his sharing of that is done with such wisdom and such depth that people who are skeptics and doubters really have a hard time refuting it, right? So that's really, really interesting to listen. And he's so heartfelt. He also is such a very heartfelt person. So I've interviewed him, I think, three times, Greg Braden, two or three times as well. Let me see. Dr. Joe Dispenza is interesting just because he's a fascinating person, just with his energy and the many different modalities that he shares to help people with their breakthroughs. So that's one thing. Lynn McTaggart, I interviewed her several times and also wrote a piece on Uni in Unity Magazine. Many of my interviews also became articles in Unity Magazine. And Lynn McTaggart, of course, started out as a journalist, right? And she still has that very objective aspect to her. But more and more, it's almost like she's being convinced also that there's something to this, right? The field she talks about and describes the field and the many experiments that she's done with the field that prove that our consciousness and what we focus on shifts reality and the experiences and the outcomes. And so that's a really, really big one because I work a lot with the field in my intuitive sessions and the readings that I do. And I know how powerful it is just to connect and get information. It just comes in, it's just there. So that's a really cool one as well.
Beautiful. Now, one of the reasons I'm asking you about that is so many times, even though it's from different people, everyone has like this common thread or this theme that kind of weaves through all of the interviews. Did you find that true? And if you did, what was that thread?
It has to be oneness, right? It has to be the oneness of all things because as we move into that space, it's just the essence and truth is truth, right? That oneness, the essence is what relates that. And all of those experiences, all of those conversations have that at the basis. And so that there's no doubt that oneness is it, right?
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
And it's what we're moving towards. We're moving out of this duality of black and white and out of good and bad and understanding from a much broader and deeper perspective.
I'd like to get your opinion on a thought that one of the magnificent things about this awakening time and the ascension time that we're in is that we're also breaking free of these false matrix programmings. And people are beginning to wake up to understand who they are, to know that, yes, in fact, we are all just one. There is no such thing as separation. People can drop into fear and worry and guilt and shame and all of those things. But I'm seeing that as we break out of that, People are even starting to release that and understand that things just are. Everything is just an experience. And I'm wondering from your perspective what you're seeing.
It's interesting because, I do a lot of intuitive readings with people all over the world, in person and also online. And more and more, there are some people who want to stay in that, it's my husband's fault that we're getting this divorce. But more and more, when I talk, I mean, energetically, I generally see and perceive the situations. And it's really simple when things don't work, is that there's no longer an energetic alignment, right? And when I explain it that way, it connects. People just go, oh yeah, of course. And it just removes this sense of I'm good and you're bad, right?
Right.
And it's just they get it. They just know. It's an understanding. And it completely, most people already know that. And then the words are put on it. And then when they can take that away and actually use it and come to their situation, their separation or the divorce that they're negotiating, or if it's a business partnership or whatever, they just say, okay, that's the way it is. And we're just going to go through this and look for the best outcome. And it's a very different experience, which is very liberating for everybody because there's no longer the blame, the lack of forgiveness, the holding on to, you need to give me, you need to recognize that I was right and you were wrong. It's just a completely different energy. Just so it just aligns with you're talking about that liberty, that freedom that we're moving into. Totally.
Yeah, that's beautiful. The forgiveness is such a large theme anymore because everyone is talking about, they're understanding that that forgiveness has to start with them. We're talking a little bit more than like the Ho'oponopono. It's just like you were talking about, there's no right or wrong. Everything just is. What part is mine? What part is yours? Oh, then we have to do the self-forgiveness for all of the blame that people are putting on to that other person. So there's this huge consciousness shift. Are you seeing any other types of threads?
Yeah, what just popped in is war. People do not have the same attitudes about war. I'm sure you're seeing that as well. I mean, I can feel it in the field. I mean, that people have this. In the past, there was an ability for different groups to be able to manipulate and to shape and move opinion and energies of thought forms in ways that were much more to their ability to be able to navigate towards a war. And what I feel and see and hear very clearly is that that's not working anymore. People don't want war. People do not want war. And there's just this natural elevation in consciousness that has happened where people are recognizing that that doesn't serve me. That doesn't do me any good. Why are they wanting to have a war over there? It's a small group of people. So there's that sort of distinction and discernment that's happening in a very positive and uplifting way for humanity, because that's a real leap forward in where we're at. That's a big one.
One of the things that I talk about with people is the fact that, yes, we are all here on this third density planet, but you can hold a 3D third dimensional consciousness and lock in, but you also can shift your perspective. You can also have a higher perspective about what's happening in the world, what's happening to you, which then begins to anchor you into a higher and higher dimension. And a lot of times, people, when they talk about these dimensional shifts, they're expecting the whole world to really change. And I explain to them what changes is your world. the way you view the world. Where are you putting your thoughts? What are you creating for yourself? I'm so disengaged about what happens in, the 3D world. I'm so focused on what I want to create, what I want to anchor in. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that with people as well.
What I see, and I touched on this a little bit, is that people are, so there are those who are still very much focused on the news and 3D, but less and less and less. I mean, we see the numbers in terms of people being much less drawn to media, right? To mainstream media, which is interesting. And I'm seeing, well, two things. One of them is people who are very clearly oriented in terms of they know that, they have a very clear sense of their values, what they want. They hold a certain energy of integrity and their values and their intentions for their future. And it's interesting because when I see those people and they ask me about potentials and they talk about changing jobs, very often I'll see very clearly a scene of a future that is there. It's almost like it's so close that it's already there because they are so clear. And it's really in that, in their own clarity, that the universe gets the message, okay, this is where we're going next. And like you said, it's coming from the individual rather than from outside. So people who are looking outside for the direction to take and come to me and say, well, what's my purpose? What's my next job? The universe always says, what do you want? And I think the interesting thing is that many people think that, intuitive readers or people like us, Sheila, can just give them, this is your purpose and this is what you're going to do next. And that's just not, in my experience, it's just not the way it works. The universe is always telling me in relation to those people, what do you want? And the universe responds to what do you want? And then by making decisions, there are adjustments that are made. Okay, I like this better. I don't like that. And I see that in so many ways. It's really interesting. So.
Earlier, you brought up a little bit about relationships and how people are dealing with those. I also have a lot of people that come to me and talk about relationships. And one of the biggest ones that people are talking about is they're feeling this that everything appears to be fine, but they're feeling this shift in the vibration, this shift to move. But because of family, friends, whatever it is, houses, cars, whatever, but for whatever reason, they're not able to truly make that transition. Do you have any advice for people who find themselves in that situation?
That's yes, I've been through that several times, just personally, and I also see many people when I do intuitive readings with them who are in that situation. When that discomfort or that misalignment is no longer there, and I had several people last week and whenever I did many sessions, when that's there, that discomfort and misalignment, there are several things that can happen. Either it's temporary and there's like a temporary sort of separation and coming back together in the energy alignments. That happens sometimes because there's a, maybe there's a death in the family or maybe there's some, a lot of work pressures or that type of thing. So there can be those temporary shifts, where there's a separation and coming back in alignment. So that's one aspect. And by listening intuitively, it's possible just to tune in and know. And then there's the real big shift where there's, to me, I can describe how it feels to me, and also whenever I feel in other people and see it in other people, there's like this almost like a prickliness between people. It's like, the energy doesn't align, and when you try to align the energies, there's like a prickliness because it's not natural, it's not in flow, it's not in synchronicity, as you said, right? And so when those are there, sometimes when someone is with that person and they're trying to force it to work, they'll either shift into the lower vibration or that other, let's not say lower, let's say that other frequency of their partner, which isn't which is no longer in alignment. So they shift their natural vibration, which is changing, and it doesn't feel good to them. So it's like a dis it's like a discomfort. It's like an unnatural shift into their own discomfort, so they can align and help the other person to feel comfortable and make the situation go smoothly. That's one thing I see. Those don't tend to last very long if people are really conscious and aware of it, because it's unnatural to try to hold a frequency which you're no longer in. And so, to me, the wise thing to do is it's your intuition, your energy field, everything is telling you, make the decision, the courageous decision to change, leave space for a better, more aligned partnership and for something better that's coming. Or, it's leaving space and allowing yourself to move into these different energy shifts and just to meet it there and just to accept it's okay. The change is okay. There's something better that's coming. There's something different that's coming. And it's that also is a recognition of our shift in terms of how relationships should be. We have this weird thing about this forever thing. Diamonds are forever. You have a relationship and it's supposed to be forever. That doesn't work anymore in my view. So I'm not saying don't get married or don't do that, but just be conscious of those shifts and respecting those shifts, because it's all of one's inner energy field and intuition that's saying, hey, we need to change. People who don't change and who stay, I saw several of those last weekend as well, really regret the decisions that they make in the long term, and it does not serve them. We talked about that earlier as well, Sheila, about going along with your intuition and following your intuitive insights. Super important.
Right. Wow. We've covered a lot today and we've talked about a lot of things that you've done in your life. So I'm wondering, what's next for you, Deborah?
Wow.
Do you have another book in the works?
I have two books actually that I'm working on. One is on one is on telepathy. They're both connected to oneness. That's a really big theme. I'm just getting this push to around that theme. One is on telepathy because we are all becoming naturally more telepathic and understanding thought forms, the energy of thought forms, how it works. Becoming conscious of our own thoughts and the energy of thoughts is super important. And you mentioned that as well, creating with one's thoughts about what we want rather than focusing on the negative things that are going on. So that's hugely important. The other book is on oneness and pa as a pathway to peace, prosperity, and abundance for the future. So those are two things that are just very much, they're already in draft form for me. So those are the
Awesome.
big things.
Well, great. Well, I wish you really good luck with that. That's exciting.
Thank
So I wanted to check also and see, we've talked about a lot of different topics, and we did talk a little bit about the intuition and how things are coming up that are shifting our current timeline or basically just the energy of time. And I'm wondering, what are you noticing about the energy of time?
Time to me, it's such a strange thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see. Gosh, I have a hard time putting words on it because it's just so fluid right
Yes.
now. Speeding up, slowing down, sometimes missing pieces of time.
Right.
With the dimensional shifts, I don't know about you, Sheila. I'm sure you're having these as well. As I shift in and out of different dimensions, it's like there are these almost like these spaces where I drop back into the physical. I don't want to say 3D because I'm not so sure it's 3D anymore, but into the physical. And it's kind of like taking an elevator in a certain sense, like you get that when the elevator drops down. And the time understanding is very different. And what I see in sessions with people is like the one person last week, when I did a reading with them, she is in a really uncomfortable work situation. She works in surgery. And it was really interesting because I could feel the energies. There were some not very positive people in the field in terms of those who are working on it. And I was seeing a lot of obscurity. It was very dark in this in the operating room. And I said to the woman, I explained the energies that to me were very dense, and all, it was also very dark. And I said, I'm seeing this as very dark. And she said, well, that's, you see clear because I work in a place where we work on surgery, eye surgery, and there's virtually no light in the operating room. So that was interesting. And then I saw, thought that was super interesting. And then I saw her future office place. I could already see the doctor she's working at with. I could see it was filled with light flooding in. And I described it to her. And my image of that in the timeline is that it was all now. It's all now, all one, right? And I said, this is, of course, is a potential, but it felt like a very close and a very strong potential. So, you know, time and potentials and energy are really interesting right now in the way that everything is so fluid. So I'm sure you have, what are your perspectives on that, Sheila? Because I know that you were talking about that as well.
I think yesterday we were talking about a lot of things, but one of them in relation to time is there's a philosophy right now that because of where we are in our trajectory around within our pathway in the universe, that and the tilt of the planet, that time actually is speeding up. And that's not just a, oh gosh, it feels like we don't have any time. And I think they said it was 16 hours. So we've gone from 24 hours to 16 hours a day. I don't know if that's true. I don't have scientific evidence, but there are many people talking about that. And also the fact, just like you said, people go throughout their day and they feel like they're dropped in to their body. And when I say dropped in, it's like all of a sudden, it's like they wake up again within themselves, not having gone anywhere, continuing to do an action. Let's say if you're cooking or writing or whatever, you're still doing this action, but all of a sudden, there's this perspective shift. And a lot of people are having missing time. So whether they are jumping timelines, whether they're visiting on craft, whether they are moving from one dimension to another and coming back into form, it's really hard to say. But there are so many discussions that are going on right now, including a really popular one about the parallel Earth and that we can travel, that this parallel Earth also holds a higher timeline, and that we can travel in between the two seamlessly. And that, let's say, the Earth one person moves into Earth two can move into Earth one, and they just kind of shift back and forth. And when that happens, that's what's creating this differential within people's perspectives about, how they see an event occur, or, the Mandela effect. And so, I mean, I don't know. There's so many different conversations that are so interesting to me. It would be great to have all the scientific evidence behind one or two of them so that we could really embrace that. But yes, there's much, much information, discussions, people podcasting even about the energy of time. So yeah, it's always a really interesting topic.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Time and dimensions right now are just super interesting. And I know a lot of us at nighttime are experiencing this a lot. Waking up in the morning feeling really tired and maybe having this transition coming back. I'm seeing that with a lot of people. Also being aware of other dimensional experiences in the
Yes.
now, in the moment, which is, it's really super interesting. Just encourage people to really be open to those possibilities and those potentials because it really is mind expanding and really brings in interesting perspectives and a lot of information as well about things that are going on.
Beautiful. Well, thank you. Is there anything else that we have not talked about that you really would like to share with the audience today?
The thing that you touched on yesterday and again today is that is really, really important is the not allowing one's future to be shaped by others that are creating a narrative, right? And staying focused on that, what's coming from one's own inner energy and inner guidance. That's a really, really huge one right now because it really is making a huge difference. So, yeah, that's
Beautiful.
a big one.
Yeah. All right, folks. So be careful what you think because we are very, very powerful co-creators. So, Deborah, I want to thank you so much for being here with us. And can you tell people where they can find your books and your website or how they can get in contact with you?
Yeah, so you can find a lot of information at deborahmoffett.com, deborahmoffitt.com, where you can find about my intuitive readings, my books, and all the links for the books are there. Workshops, retreats, most everything is there. So that's the best place to go.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate all of your time and your wisdom. And so today, people, we have been talking with Deborah Moffett, and I want to really express my gratitude for your taking the time again to be here with us. So tune in again next week for another exciting episode as we begin to continue our discussions on the Conscious Awakening series with more empowerment right here on the Conscious Awakening Network. So, again, thank you, Deborah. And until next week, everyone, much love and namaste. Have a beautiful and blessed week.